I did just want to quickly, before I forget, Do the New You is actually inspired by a great book by Pastor Stephen Furtick. And right now I think a QR code is going to come up. If any of these sermons just speak to you and you're like, oh, I want to dig deeper and know more, you can purchase his book on Amazon. It's a fantastic read. So just wanted you to know, highly recommend it. He goes through 6 mindsets. We're preaching out of 5 of them. And I know that it will bless you. So it's a great book. It's a great book. But as I enter today, I'm wondering, as you reflect on your journey with God, your journey in life, have you ever had one of those moments that just impacted you incredibly deeply? I know for me, I've had many moments, and some of you may have heard me share about this one before, but I just felt to share with you today a moment when I was about 18 years of age and I was on an aeroplane. And I'm not that old, but this was before like you had Netflix on your phone, right? Like, you know, when you're on an aeroplane, you can't necessarily watch movies or download things on your iPad. Back then, we went old school and read physical books. Does anyone remember that? Yeah, some of you might still read books. That's awesome, but I still do. But back then, I remember, so I had time to fill, so I packed this book and I was reading it on the plane. And so just to give you context of where I was in my journey, at the time I was a new Christian. I had just recently rededicated my life to God. I was so in love with Jesus. I was like the fire. Like, I love new Christians. Like, I love seeing Andrew and Micah today because I go, they are on fire. And I was like that on fire new Christian, and I was in love with Jesus. I had gone all in. I was deeply passionate about God. I'd gone all in to serving God and serving His church, which hence I'll tell you while I was reading a book about youth ministry. But there was something in this middle of all of this, all the good stuff that was going on in my life, all the passion I had for the Lord, all the love in my heart for Him, all the zealousness, there was something on the inside I was actually struggling with. And in that season, as I reflect now, I wasn't fully aware of it at the time. I was struggling with my identity. I was struggling with accepting myself and who God had called me to be. I was, as I said, I was doing lots and lots of stuff for God. I was learning how to make a difference for God, but there were so many times that I just did not feel worthy of God's love. There were so many moments I'd have these thoughts plaguing my mind that I was not good enough. Who am I to do anything for God? I struggled with continual feelings of guilt and shame and condemnation. I felt, if I'm honest with you, I felt very insecure. And maybe I didn't look like that on the outside, but on the inside, I was always comparing myself to other people, and I cared way too much about what others thought about me. But at the deepest level, as I reflect now, I was struggling to feel loved by God. I was struggling to feel accepted by God. And in one way, without me knowing, I was subconsciously trying to prove my worth to Him. I was trying to earn His love. I was trying to prove to Him that I am good enough to be a son and good enough to be loved. And maybe you can't resonate exactly with my story, but I'm wondering if anyone here today, if you were honest with yourself, and I've gone through this many times in my journey, where you might be struggling with some of those thoughts yourself here today. I just don't feel worthy. I don't feel enough. I don't feel like God can accept me and love me. And so that's the context of my life. And the funny thing is, I'm reading a book on leadership. I'm reading a book on, like, I thought that I needed to keep growing, how to lead, and I'm turning pages. And this is it's a real arty-farty book, excuse my language, but it's really interesting. But it's about youth ministry. And I'm reading it, and I'm on the aeroplane. And let me show you the page I turned to with one hand. I'm reading. And I don't know if you can see this, in really big arty letters is a Bible verse. And I don't know, can you read that? I don't know, Mesu, what does that say? You can't read, that's all right, you need your glasses. It says, "This is my son, with whom I'm well pleased." And do you know what happened? When I turned the page, I was expecting to keep growing as a leader and youth ministry and change the world. And I read this verse, which is actually a Bible verse, which we'll talk about. It's like the word on the pages jumped out on this airplane and hit my heart. And in the middle of the flight, in the middle of random strangers to the left and my right, I burst out weeping. burst out weeping. Like, I think people thought I was having a mental breakdown level of crying. And you know, there's like cute crying, then there's this ugly crying. I was this ugly crying. And I think the stewardess actually came and said, "Are you okay? Like, are you all right here?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm okay." And I just read this and this verse jumped out. And it was like God himself spoke to me this Bible verse. And this verse has become the foundation, one of the foundational promises of my life, which I'll talk about. But it began a journey for me as a young man, as a recent convert. I went on this journey of God becoming the Heavenly Father. See, if I was to ask many of us here today, we know God is our Heavenly Father. But I went on a journey of Him becoming the Heavenly Father to becoming my Father. I went on a journey of this revelation of being a son of God, a daughter of God, of His love and His acceptance. See, a lot of us know it in our head. And if I was, I can guarantee right now, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up. There are people here today who are going, "Oh, we're going to talk about this again? I feel like I've already heard this message 100 times, and I get that. But the journey for so many of us as believers is we have a lot that's in our head. We know things. But my question for us today, is it a revelation that's in our heart? They are two different things. And this is the journey God took me from it becoming information to revelation. Sometimes we can know something in our head, but believe something different in our heart. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a disciple, I am convinced that one of the most powerful revelations you and I need to have cemented in our heart is that I am a child of God. He loves me just for who I am. I am accepted. I am enough. Christ is in me. I am enough. And this is something that we have to keep watch on, because the enemy always knows what is most powerful. And so guess what gets attacked in your life and my life? The most powerful revelation. And this is one of those ones where if we don't have this strong in our life, it can do so much damage and eventually take us out. And being very authentic with you here this morning, this has actually become a life message for me. But it's not because of what you think. It's not because of like a Superman Dan or a... It's actually because this is a weakness in my soul. And this is something I've had to do incredibly deep work on and continue to this day. This revelation that just as I am enough. Just as I am loved. And that's why today I'm preaching out of my own journey, story, and heart. So this verse that stood out to me, let's look at it. It's in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17 in the Gospel of Matthew. And the context here, and it's so fitting for today, is guess what just happened? Matthew chapter 3, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He's 30 years old. And this is actually the same day that it is today for Andrew and for Micah. Let's give these guys a massive hand. Come on. So the whole context of what I'm about to share is Jesus just went into the spa. But I think it was the River Jordan. It might have been a bit colder. But Jesus actually just got water baptized by John the Baptist. And by the by, if you're in this room and you haven't been water baptized and you believe in Jesus Christ, can I encourage you, make that step. If Jesus did it, who tells me, like that tells me I think we should all do it who believe in Jesus. It's a powerful moment. And so this is the context. Jesus is 30. He had grown up. We read a little bit about his story between 0 and 30. We find him at 12 years of age. You have to remember, Jesus was a normal child. He grew up in a family with Mary and Joseph. There's glimpses in the Gospels, like we see him at the age of 12. Mary loses him and he's in the temple teaching and he's growing in wisdom and in favor and stature. But at 30 years of age, Jesus was a carpenter. Jesus... Do you know what's actually amazing is he actually hadn't performed one miracle yet. This is the season we're zooming into. Jesus had been waiting for the right time. He'd been quite a regular man, a carpenter, devoted to God, never sinned, but he actually hadn't done much for God yet. 0 to 30 for Jesus was the preparation years. And then we go to this moment where he's water baptized. And what I just read to you, the heavens open over the River Jordan, and a voice from heaven, let's look, verse 17, a voice from heaven said, isn't that cool, by the way? Imagine if today, like Micah comes up and the heavens are opened and a voice said, come on, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. And maybe you've never heard this before, but just a reminder again, when God the Father said this to God the Son, when God said this to Jesus, it was when he hadn't done anything yet for God. Jesus hadn't yet performed a miracle. He hadn't turned water to wine. He hadn't healed the blind man. He hadn't raised Lazarus from the dead. He hadn't gone to the cross yet. Right now, God is saying, Jesus, to his son, that you are my beloved son, my dearly loved son. You bring me great joy. And it's before he had done anything for him. See, the Father's love for you and I is never based on anything we can do. It's based on who we are. And that's what's happening here. The Father's saying to Jesus pretty much, I want you to know, son. And he goes into his ministry quite quickly after this. But Jesus, you are my son just for who you are. You are enough. I want everyone to say that. Say, I am enough. So when Jesus from that place went and fulfilled his calling, went and did all these miracles, and then ultimately went all the way and humbled himself in obedience to die on the cross, he wasn't doing this now at trying to prove anything to anyone, because the starting place for him was, I am God's son. I am a son to my father. He loves me for who I am, and I bring him great joy. And a question I want us all to reflect on here today is, what's the foundation that you are living your life from? And I want you to use this analogy of, we got like a stage here. And what I picture happened in this moment is when God spoke to Jesus, this actually set the foundation for what Jesus was going to live his life from and build his life on. And so what happened in this moment is the foundation is set that I am enough. I am loved. I am chosen. And so then when Jesus entered his ministry and did, he actually did everything he did standing on this foundation. It was a solid foundation. And it gave him the strength in so many moments when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, when he constantly had to let people down and their expectations of him, because he wasn't living on a foundation of I'm trying to have everyone love me and everyone like me and prove myself to everyone and prove that I'm the Messiah. And he lived this life where his foundation was, I'm loved and I'm just serving my Father. But what can happen, and this is where the danger gets in, is you and I, and we all, when we become a follower of Jesus, we come with certain insecurities, certain gaps, certain needs. And this was me. And what I had done is I was living my life on the wrong foundation. I was trying to live a life on, my foundation was, you are not enough. You've got to prove yourself. You got to prove yourself to God. You got to prove that you're worthy to be loved. You got to prove to everyone that you are enough. And that was the foundation I was living my life from. And as you can imagine, that is not God's plan or God's will. In fact, I would twist it on its head. That's probably the enemy's plan. He's sneaky, but man, it's a smart move. What is the foundation you're living life from? And generally, just before I get into, there are two camps we can find ourselves in. And Tim Ferdick used this language. I'm just stealing it. But it's like the trap or the treadmill. Everyone say the trap or the treadmill. So we got the foundation Jesus lived from. That's the goal. But what are two potential stumbling blocks for us? Well, number one would be what I call the trap, what Pastor Stephen calls the trap. And the trap is this. We feel we can lose God's love and acceptance. The trap is that I constantly worry about my past. My past mistakes, my past shortcomings. I'm constantly feeling guilty and ashamed and if you only knew what I've done, and if you knew the mistakes I'd made and what I looked at last night. And it's like we live in this place where we're almost living out of fear that if I make a mistake, God is going to withdraw his love from me. Or I made a mistake, how could he love me? That's a trap. It's not the truth. And let me just put out a truth bomb to you to write down. This is true for all of us. He will never love you any less than he does right now. So there's nothing you and I can do that would make God love us any less. And I know this might mess with a few of us, but his love is not conditional on our behavior. Now, of course, that doesn't mean we don't go and sin on purpose. That's not what I'm saying. But it's not like when you and I make a mistake, he withdraws his love. Actually, I would argue he leans in with love. He will never love you and I any less than he does right now. No matter what we've done, no matter what we will do, his love is consistent. Romans 8:39 says, "No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing." Everyone say nothing. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus. Oh man, that is powerful, powerful revelation that if you and I live this life going, there is nothing in all creation, there's no mistake I can make, there's no situation I'll walk into, no season in my future, there's no demon on earth, or there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. That is a powerful truth. Let's give God a hand for that. Come on. So today, if we're living life on the foundation of the trap, I believe God's going to set us free. But then there's people over on this side, everyone say the treadmill. And the treadmill, it's similar but a little bit different. It's trying to think, if I do X, God will love me more. And we live life on this treadmill constantly trying to do more, be perfect, do perfect. It's like this mindset that we can earn God's love or acceptance. And we live life on the treadmill of just constantly trying to do more, trying to earn God's love, trying to be enough, trying to be perfect. And it actually has the same consequence. It's a shaky foundation. If the trap is worried about the past, the treadmill is worried about the future. And we're trying to be perfect. And we're trying to prove to God that I am worthy of your love. But the cross already showed you and I, we are worthy of his love. Here's the truth bomb for this one. So the last one is he will never love you any less than he does right now. If you're on the treadmill, can I share to you, he will never love you any more than he does right now. There's nothing you and I can do that earns more love, that earns more acceptance. See, our whole Christian faith is built on faith, not works. And I want to quickly just share one scripture out of Ephesians 1, verse 5 to 6. Paul again, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure of his will. Check this out. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So God, when Jesus died on the cross in our place and rose again in our place, God made a statement over you and I that we have been made accepted in the beloved, which is Christ. So we're not rejected. We don't have to earn or prove. We are already accepted in Christ. And so my hope today is that you and I leave this place just resting in the truth of this revelation. I am God's dearly loved son. I am his dearly loved daughter. And what I've discovered on my journey, friend, is that I need to come back to this every day. Whether your temptation is the treadmill or your temptation is the trap, I find personally, I'll wake up most days and one of the two will be screaming at me, tempting me to go there. I'll wake up tomorrow and I'll start to think like this. Oh, I gotta be perfect. I gotta do this and I gotta prove, I gotta earn. Or some days I'll wake up and I'm like, oh man, I stuffed that up last week and I did this. And what I found is every day, the first thing I need to do when I enter the quiet place and the secret place with God, I need to be clothed in his love again. Every 24 hours, I need to come back to that place. And Romans 5 verse 5 says this, "And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." So every day, can I encourage us? I do this. I think we all should. Is every day we have some time with God and we're just saying, God, fill me with your love today. Before I go to the trap, before I go to the treadmill, I remember that you love me just as I am. And it's supernatural. This verse says the Holy Spirit will fill our heart with the Father's love. And how I picture for me, guys, is when I'm on my knees every morning, early in the morning, before the sun comes up, what am I doing? I'm setting the foundation for my life. So today, as I'm a husband to my wife, I'm living on that foundation. As I'm a dad to my son, as I'm a son and a friend, as I'm a pastor and a leader, whatever God ever asks of me, I don't care what it is. This isn't about what I do, but whatever I do, it will be built on this foundation. I'm already loved. I'm already chosen. Christ is in me. I am enough. Say to the person next to you, say, Christ is in me. Say to the other person, I am enough. Come on, what a prophecy. And I did some mathematics. So this verse, okay, God spoke it to me 13 years ago. And you might ask, Dan, how do I get clothed in God's love? Well, part of it is just waiting on the Lord, picturing the Father, picturing Him wrapping His arms around me. A second part, I'll talk about this at the end, is what we speak over ourselves. And this verse, as I shared, has changed my life. I reckon on average, I'll say it out loud a minimum of 3 times a day. Okay, so I wake up, I'm God's beloved son in whom He's well pleased. I'm His dearly loved son who brings Him great joy. And as I speak it, I believe it. 3 times a day for 365 days a year for 13 years, I have probably said this verse 14,235 times out loud over myself. And that has changed my life. Because can I tell you, as we speak the word of God, it begins to rewire our brain. It begins to transform our heart. And you know what happens now? I'm not perfect, but when I'm starting to be tempted that way or that way, there's something on the inside of me that rises up and says, no, I'm God's beloved son. I'm already loved. I'm already chosen. I'm already enough, but I've had to put in the work. So what are you speaking over your life that God has spoken over you? Christ is in me. I am enough. Christ is in me. And see, the world or New Age or whatever you want to call it, well, like this isn't new news going, oh, I am enough. Like positive self-talk. That's awesome, okay? Like that's like, you know, that's around these days. But what I want to make so clear for us here today is we can't have the latter without the former. It's not that we are enough. It's actually first going, Christ is in me and therefore I am enough. I picture it like we breathe in, Christ is in me, therefore I am enough. There is a truth and then a consequence of that truth. And do you know in the New Testament, we learned in Bible college this week with those who were there, that in the New Testament, the word in Him, talking about Jesus, is mentioned 147 times. The New Testament isn't that big, 147 times. The writers of the New Testament uses this word in Christ, in Him. The Bible says that we are in Christ. We are crucified with Christ. We are raised up with Christ. We are created in Christ. We are baptized into Christ. Christ abides in us. We are justified in Christ. We are seated with Christ. We are hidden in Christ. We abide in Christ. We are clothed in Christ. They're just a few examples of the 147 times God is saying to you and I, guys, I want you to know you are in Christ. And if I go back to this first verse, Galatians 2:20, in the concept of what I've just shared, think about these words Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. So the old you and the old me, the old Dan that made all of those stupid mistakes, the old Dan that tried to prove himself, the old me, the fleshly me, that was crucified with Christ on the cross. It's no longer I who live, but it is Christ in me. Christ is in me. We are not like a son to God. We're not like a daughter to God. We are a son. We are a daughter. We have been adopted as children of God. Adopted means we were handpicked and chosen. It's an even more powerful statement than saying we're a son. We were adopted. We were chosen. And one revelation that's changed my life is the Bible says Jesus was the firstborn among many. And so, the relationship that Jesus had with God the Father is an exact replica or example of the relationship that the Father wants to have with you and I. Jesus was the firstborn, but now He is in us. And in Christ, we now have access to the most beautiful relationship with our Father in heaven, just as Jesus did. And there are so many promises attached to this. But for the sake of time, I just want to share two verses that are so powerful. So what does it mean when you're saying, I'm in Christ? What does it mean when you say you are in Christ? Let's look at Colossians 1, 22. I just realized every verse I have today is Paul writing. He obviously was passionate about this. And I can imagine if anyone had an example to be stuck on the trap, it was Paul. Saul, the man who hunted down Christians, who clapped and applauded as they were murdered for their faith, became the leader of the church and the most, wow, he needed this revelation like you and I do. Colossians 1, 22, yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. When God looks at you and me, he doesn't see the mistakes we've made. He sees Christ in us. And in Christ, we have been made holy. We have been made blameless. Like, this is absolutely life transforming and without a single fault in his presence because of Christ in us. And whenever God looks at us, Jesus is our interceder and he says, hey, Father, remember I died for them. So no matter what mistake they've made, it has been wiped clean, washed with the blood of Jesus, removed from us as far as the east is from the west. It is absolutely amazing. When God sees me, he sees us through Christ. We are in Christ. His nature has become ours. And out of that, my final thought is, so we are in Christ. I want to talk now about I am enough. I want to show you guys two photos. I'm going to try so hard not to cry. I want to show you the time I first met my son, Brave. And parents will know this. I know before you have kids, you always hear other parents talk about this. Oh, my heart already. Okay. I remember he's in the womb and you get to know your child in the womb, but I'll never forget the day he comes out and there's that moment, I think the first one will come up, of him on the table where I hold his hand for the first time. And the love, like in that moment, it's like there's something birthed in your heart as a father or a mother that you cannot put words to. From the moment I met my son, he had been in the earth for less than a minute and he's on the table and he's looking at me and I'm holding his little hand. And the love that enters my heart, I just can't put words to. There's a second photo of while the doctors were looking after Ebony, they put him on my chest and I will never forget this moment where he, you know, newborns often come asleep and he opens his eyes and I'm holding my son and his eyes and my eyes meet. We're looking at each other and I just say the words, I will love you forever, son. And he's looking at me and he's engaged with me. And it's just like this moment of bonding that no words can put. You know, you can't express it. And if you're a parent here, you understand. But what happened in that moment is a love is created, a love that is birthed in me that already was there, but it's a love that is forever. And I meant the words I said to him. It's not conditional. This love is before he did anything. This love is before he did anything that for me. This love is not based on anything he's ever going to do. The love I felt for him in that moment, it was just simply because of who he is. He's my son. I love him. And I proclaimed over him. And it's the truth. It's like, no matter what happens in his life, you will always be loved by me. I don't care what you do. I don't care what happens. It doesn't matter to me because you're not loved because of anything you do or don't do. You're my son. And I love and accept you just as you are for the rest of your life. And the Bible talks of this truth is, how much we as earthly parents love our children. And just for a moment to think about the love of our Heavenly Father. And yes, the love we feel is like one of the purest forms of love you can have on this side of eternity. But can I tell you, it's not even remotely close to the love that God has for you and I. There is no purer love. There is nothing on this side of earth that is like that love. It's almost like a drop in the ocean. The love I feel for my son, the love we feel for our children and our spouses and people in this world, it's like a drop in the ocean compared to the everlasting love of our God. In fact, we could not love if he did not first love us. And it breaks God's heart, I believe. I imagine sometimes, imagine if one day Brave, my son, made a mistake. And imagine the feeling if he came to me and said, Dad, I don't feel like I'm worthy of your love anymore. I don't want to be around you. I've made a mistake. Like, imagine how that would make me feel as his dad. I'd be like, mate, I don't care what's happened. Just, I love you. Or imagine the feeling of if I found out that he's, you know, pushing him and trying to do everything to earn the love of, I'd be like, mate, you don't have anything to earn. I already love you. It would break my heart as a dad. And can I tell you that God's heart breaks when you and I aren't just resting in this place of I am loved just as I am. I am enough. Like, we have nothing to prove to God. You and I have nothing on this treadmill. It's like, he's like, some people spend a lifetime trying to earn something that was theirs all along. And they get to eternity. And God's like, son, daughter, you had nothing to prove or earn. Or on the other side, we can spend a lifetime almost as a self-defense mechanism trying not to get close to God because of all the mistakes I've made and the shame and the guilt. And God's like, all along, there was nothing that could separate us from your love. Pastor Stephen wrote about this in the book, and I'll just invite the band up, please. I so relate to this. And he talked about what has been a lot harder, and this has been my journey. What was a lot harder for me was not accepting Jesus, but actually accepting me. Accepting Jesus took a moment, but accepting me has taken a lifetime. To accept Jesus and to not accept me is to miss the gift of salvation. We don't just accept Jesus by faith. We accept ourselves by faith. And maybe there's someone in this room, and this whole message is for you, is that you don't feel like you are enough. And my heart is, I hope that you're hearing God's heart, is that God chose you, and the question is, will you? God has accepted you. Will you accept yourself? We have already been made accepted in the Beloved. We are enough. Isaiah 41:9 says, I took you from the ends of the earth. From the farthest corners I have called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and I have not rejected you. That's a word for someone here today. God has chosen you and he has not rejected you. The position of a son or a daughter is one of acceptance. We are enough. And I just wanted to encourage us. Let me say for you, you are enough just as you are. You are enough no matter what you've done. You are enough no matter what happens tomorrow. And yes, we're all on the journey. This isn't an excuse to go, well, I could do whatever I want and abuse grace. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying this means that you and I don't have areas we need to grow in. Of course we do. We all need to keep becoming more like Jesus. But what I am saying is God's heart for us remains steadfast through it all. We are loved, we are accepted. Christ is in you, friend. Christ is in me. We are enough. And for me, you might be going, all right, well, what do I do? Well, I just have two thoughts and I'm going to pray. As I shared earlier, every day we just need to commune and spend time with our Father. Just let his love fill us every single day. And number two, we need to speak the word of God over ourselves. We need to get the revelation. What's God's promises? What's God's declaration? What has he said about you? I've shared about 10 verses today. Just take them if you don't know where to start and begin to speak them over yourself. I am God's beloved son. I am his dearly loved daughter. I am holy and blameless and without a single fault in Christ. I am a new creation. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I have been adopted as a very child of God. I've been made accepted in the Beloved. He has chosen me. I am not rejected. I have been made accepted. And as you and I speak the word of God, the one who created us, our label maker, they are coming into our heart and we live from that foundation. Can we all just stand in this place?